The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
This is Lindsay with Center Stage Events, and Mike and Dave are the nicest, most talented people I will never have in my roster. They're the top of the bottom.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Hey, this is Chris Fleming. If you didn't know, two guys got cut from the U.S. Olympic volleyball team, and now they have their own paranormal show called Odyssey Files.
Anywhere. Thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Good evening, ParaX. I am your host of this hour of the Odyssey Files, Michael O'Neill. With me tonight, early, and you can hear him. Let your voice ring out, Mr. Dave Sawyering.
Woo! Can you believe it? You can actually hear me. There won't be any sign language this evening. There won't be any calling me on the cell phone, putting it on speakerphone. You're actually going to hear my opinions and theories and thoughts live as they fire out of my brain today.
Which already makes me miss last week. just kidding. No, last week was awful because, yeah, I don't like regurgitating stuff. I like discussing stuff. So... and being flashed like note cards over Skype really doesn't do it for me. Especially when I completely disagree with you. So,
yeah.
But tonight that's not going to be an issue because we have two phenomenal guests with us tonight. They are half of the team of Squatch Hers with a capital H. I'm going to probably hack this. It's Kim Juarez, right? Yes!
Yep, that's it.
And Steph Ayers.
Yes, so. Hi. Hi, boys. How are you?
Yes, gentlemen. Hello.
Does if that voice sounds familiar, obviously Steph is a fellow co-host of The Gathering. Tuesday nights, right? Right, Steph?
Tuesday nights. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Well, 9 o'clock Eastern time, right?
Where Dave and I are going to be your guests? Oh, no way, because you don't ask him to do that.
Well, you know, we'll get you on. We'll get you on, I promise. I'll talk to Heidi about the schedule, because she's got a lot of stuff going on. So we'll do that.
Of course. Of course.
For sure. We will.
That's yeah, fun. On the spot. That well, was really good, Mike. You did well, excellent you. On that one.
Jeez.
I have learned that if you want results, you have to put them in the public eye on the spot.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Now, as soon as we go to commercial, I will get a berating that is unreal.
No, I wouldn't do that.
So, ladies, obviously... Dave and I know you personally because you are both members of paranormal teams here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. But each one, why don't you just kind of fill in everybody on, you know, like your history of being in the paranormal and then how Squatch Hers came to be.
Kim, go first. Oh, me? Okay.
Yes. I can't say ladies first this time. So
Kim, you go, because I'm always the one that talks too much. So it's your turn.
So my name is Kim Juarez, and I'm with Cat Paranormal. I'm here in southern Minnesota. And I got into the field of paranormal when I was a child. So I saw things when I was little and sensed things when I was little. And then I saw the great film, the Patterson and Gimlin film of the Bigfoot. So that's how it started with me. Never thought I would be in a group or anything like that, but, you know, started doing the paranormal, met Stephanie and her husband through paranormal stuff, and that's how it started for me, basically. So, yeah, go ahead, Steph.
So my name is Stephanie Ayers, and I got my start in, well, Jerry and I formed a group called Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota 1,000 years ago now. Actually, I don't know how long many years it's been, but I think we're coming up on our 8th anniversary this year. So we've been doing it for a lot of years, and then I'm co-host of The Gathering, and I started Kim and I started this Bigfoot team back in 2015, so we've been doing this for a little while too.
Yep.
So why? I mean, why the all-girl Bigfoot team?
Because girls just want to have fun.
So what you're saying is that some women go out for drinks, some women go dancing.
Well, we do that too.
You go into the woods in the dead of the night and search for Bigfoot.
Yes, we do.
So how it came about was, you know, Jerry, my husband Jerry, is host of the Calling radio show. And way back in 2015 at Paracon, he was interviewing Lauren Coleman. And I had cajoled our team to go Bigfoot hunting a couple of times, you know, way up on the northern border. And we found some really cool stuff. But it was like pulling teeth trying to get my paranormal bunch out in the woods, you know. But Lauren suggested that he thought it would be women that would make first contact with Sasquatch because we're non-threatening, we're just nothing to be afraid of, right? We're just little women. And if we had no guns and no dogs and no men with us, he really felt like we could do it. Well, that's all it took for me. So I called Kim and said, Kim, come on, we got to do this. And
we were at Paracon, as a matter of fact, when she came running to me
and
said, we need to do this. And I said, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
That's how it all got started.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it ever since.
Yep.
Nice. So how often do you guys get out?
Well, in the wintertime now, we have been going like once a month, driving up north. This weekend, we're going to be up north all weekend. We're leaving on Friday, and we have a Squatch chat that we're having in Bena, which is a town hall event. They're like one of the most fun things that we do because people just come and tell us their stories and tell us where to look. And there's just something about girls in the woods that everybody just loves to listen to. But my favorite thing is listening to their stories. So that's happening on Saturday night at 5 at the Big Winnie Bar.
Yep.
But we're going to be out looking, searching on Saturday during the day and on Sunday. So it's going to be a really fun weekend. I'm hopeful it's not going to be too above or below zero or whatever it was last time we were up there, because we were up there, it was either at the end of December or the beginning of January, and it was cold. Well, you know, it's colder up there. So, but we did it. We were out there. We were looking. So we had some crazy experiences. So, you know, it's all good.
So speaking of stories, and I just want to get this question in before we get deep into the conversation that I know Dave is going to unleash on all of us. Because I've got this question that I need to ask.
Yes.
When people tell you their stories.
Yes.
Do you ever just stand there and go, this person is crazy?
No.
Really?
No. Seriously?
No, go ahead. No. Because, well, the thing is, it takes a lot of guts to talk to somebody about these things that they've seen, just like ghosts. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to tell somebody that you've seen a ghost. And even though this new age has really come into play, people are still afraid that people are going to think they're crazy. So if they pull you to, and some of them will speak publicly, some of them will come right up with us and tell us what they've seen and show us evidence and whatever. Some take us to the side and say, so it takes a lot of courage. Kim, don't you think? What were you going to say?
So, yeah, there is a big difference, especially in the areas that you're in. And then they have to trust you. Mm-hmm. See, they have to know if you would believe really in the Bigfoot. And they want to see your equipment. They want to see what you do and how you go about doing it. And then it's really weird because they're so standoffish. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, they really start getting to like us. And, you know, they start coming around and they start giving us their stories. It's just really crazy. So,
nobody comes. Well, that was an echo. Who, Kim, it's you. I'm going to say it's you. So nobody comes up and just with like an insane story of, you know, Bigfoot is trying to date their daughter or anything like that. No? Okay. So
I wish there would be a fun one like that. You know, what would we say if somebody came up and said that, Pam, Kim? I'm not sure.
Did you almost call her Pam?
I did. I don't know where Pam came from. I don't even know any Pams here.
Well, Kim was like a Pam.
We know somebody named Pam? Where did that name come from? I'm losing it. I'm telling you, there's too much in my head this week. Pam?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Dave, I'm good now. I've gotten all of my outside questions. Reel us in.
All right. So share with us, like, and you don't have to be specific, but share with us what you would consider to be some of the best eyewitness accounts that you've seen at like your meetings when you guys travel, like things that people have told you and said, you know, you're not going to believe. I'm sure that's how that some of them start, or probably a lot of them, like, you know what, you're not going to believe this, but you know what can you, you know, share like some of your best, like your highlights of things that made you stop and say, wow, this is something we need to take and like seriously find out the location and go take a look at this.
I would think, I don't know. There's so many stories out there. It's just bizarre and crazy. So how can you not believe that there's a Bigfoot out there? You know, and there's so many that we were just talking about this. There's so many theories of what a Bigfoot is, you know, like, is he an, you know, what type of animal and what type of where he comes from. But there's so many sightings all over the world. It's just crazy and bizarre. Like the newest one that I heard that was last year, that the waterways, they live underneath the waterways. Remember that one, Stephanie? That was pretty crazy to me. And I'm like, how would they live under there? You know, but yeah, that'd be a perfect little area for them, you know, where the fish is at and there's a place for them to stay underneath the water. I mean, that's crazy. And then you go ahead. I just think it's crazy.
Well, you know, I think one of the, boy, that's a lot of reverb. One of the, my favorite stories, Kim, was when we were up in Manoman last year and we had that big, that chat and that, I'm not going to say his name, but he was one of the guys that came up to us and said, was telling us about Bigfoot and that he always saw Bigfoot like the full first new moon or something right around Easter time. Remember, right after the equinox? And he produced his cell phone, and on his cell phone was a picture of Bigfoot in the woods. And I squealed. Remember that, Kim? I was like, yes. Oh, look at this. Yes. Everybody in the place was like, what? And it was just so unexpected and so unbelievable. I'm like, oh my God. And then I passed it around, you know, and I wish we would have got a copy of that. Carter still is mad at me that didn't get it. We'll get it. Yeah. But wow, that's amazing. And I know he sent us a note a couple of months after that and said that he had been up at his cabin around that time of year, because it was that time of year, and that same thing.
Yeah, he did say. I think he did say he would, we can come out and check it out with him. So
I should really email him, Kim, because he lives close to where we're going to be on Saturday.
Right.
Just saying. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
But that was, I think, that was one of the most compelling stories that we've heard.
And there's another story. Motley is not. What is it? How far is Motley? There's a story about this sheriff that actually saw a Bigfoot too. Now, come on, this is a sheriff, you guys.
Yeah.
A sheriff from Motley Police Department that says, yes, they've seen a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Did he get it on like the video of his cruiser?
No, I don't think they got video of him. I think they just saw him cross or something. Like they got like a call or something like that. But we need to talk to him as well. We have so many stories that we still have to catch up on. There's so much. There's super. Just, and this is in Minnesota. This is Minnesota, everyone. So I'm talking like up north, you know, so I'm not trying to put the person on spot. But yeah, he did say I can come back and talk to him. So,
just yeah. Me. And, you know, look at what Jerry just handed me. Bigfoot journals for us, Kim. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
But, you know, let me just say this. Up near Bena, Minnesota, well, up in that Chippewa National Forest up there, you know, Reamer is on the southern end of that of that forest, and they consider themselves the home of Bigfoot because there's so many Bigfoot sightings there. Babina is my favorite place because everybody has seen Bigfoot up there, and none of them I don't think any of them are lying. They're very genuine. They're very sincere. They've all seen something, and all you really have to do is go into the Big Winnie Bar and sit up at the bar, and the stories start coming. You know, once they find out who you are, it's like, oh my God, girls, you got, you know, this is where you need to go. And then they blah, blah, blah. And it's just unbelievable.
And these are men that are hunters.
Yes.
They were like waiting for us with pictures. I'm not kidding.
Last year
it was just crazy. And they were bringing these pictures of footprints. You know, I think some of them had seen it, but, you know, seen the Bigfoot. But I mean, these were pictures of these big, huge feet. I mean, they were just waiting for us. Totally waiting for us to show them, you know, the pictures and stuff. So some of them did say that they would take us out for sure. So I can't wait to get back to Bina for sure. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, during this spring and summer.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, but we'll be there this weekend. So we'll see what we find. And Jerry saw Bigfoot right up south of Bina. So we're going to try to get on the snowshoes and go out there too, because it was like an island in Leech Lake. So we should be able to get out there now because it's frozen. So anyway.
So, all right. So moving forward from that, you guys have been going out for a couple of years, and you said that you were going out like once a month, you know, or at least trying to get out like once a month. Mm-hmm. So share with us some of your best personal experiences, whether it be, you know, a wood knock or, a footprint or something, you know, a partial print or something that you discovered when you were in these areas that are kind of like a hot zone.
And try to include the story of, I believe, Steph freaking out.
That's a good one.
Well, that is a good one. And, you know, we can't say with definite truth that was Bigfoot. It could have been something paranormal. Lauren Coleman was quick to point that out. Steph, you're a paranormal investigator. It could have been this, could have been this. You're right. It could have been. So we don't know that it was Bigfoot, but I was scared to death. And let me tell you, I don't get scared very often on these investigations. But Kim, you should tell the story because I think you tell it better than I do.
I think you do. Go ahead. I'll chime in. Watch.
so we were all out on this crazy little forest road out in the Chippewa Forest, and we were in different places, and all of a sudden, you know, we heard something, and there were rocks being lobbed at us, and I'm not saying they were thrown at us. They were like thrown up in the air and they landed at our feet, like something trying to say, well, hello girls, here we are, come and find us, you know. It was kind of like I felt like that's what it was. And then we heard knocks, we heard rustling around in the under the all of the woods around us. And it was like 1 a.m. and we had infrared, we had
you couldn't see them on the you couldn't see nothing on the infrared.
And we even had the thermal cam, right? And
yep, thermal too.
Nothing showed up. Nothing showed up. And as far as I know, bears don't throw things. Well, bears throw things, but they wouldn't throw it up in the air and lob it at us. You know?
Yeah, they literally went over the trees because we were facing the wrong direction. They were like we were facing the opposite side. So, you know, as they're throwing the rocks over the trees, I turn around and I look and I see these things falling on the ground, you know, because we had flashlights, and right away we turned on our flashlights to look around, and they're hitting the ground. And then all of a sudden I look up and I see another one, you know, by the light of the moon, and you could see them being launched over trees, like huge trees. These things are huge, you know, like 2-story high almost. So, yeah. So to me, that was bizarre.
Well, I can't explain that. And, you know, wasn't the hair standing on the back of your neck? I mean, it was kind of like when we're on a paranormal investigation and there's spirits around, you know, and you know, a lot of us on our team are intuitive sensitives as well. So I'm thinking that that's going to help us find Bigfoot too, or if he's around, we should know that he's there because of that. Right. And all of a sudden, the feeling just got really intense. And I felt like they were surrounding us. And I was scared.
You were back to back.
I'm like, okay, it's time to go now. We got to get in the car. We got to go to a different place because this is getting, I'm afraid they're going to hurt us. I don't know what the, what's going to happen, you know? And then they, all of a sudden, it just kind of went and they were gone. So I don't really know what that was, but it was, we experienced a lot of the things that, you know, experienced Bigfoot researchers say are Bigfoot traits. And it was in a place where we had found footprints during the day. Right. So, you know, was it Bigfoot? I don't know. I sure think it was, but, you know, it could have been something paranormal as well. We just don't know. But I don't know that I've ever seen ghosts throw things at us before, and I really haven't heard them knocking on trees either. So,
I don't know. That spot did have a spot where in the water they had seen a Bigfoot at one point.
Yes, yes. Back. Down from there, it was that same year, right? It was like a month before.
Yes. They had seen one.
And that was a crazy story. So this guy was out in the lake fishing, and I don't know why he was out there late, Kim, but remember, it was like, it was about the same time because he wanted to come in, and he was afraid because this, he said it was a Bigfoot that was on the shoreline, and he was, you know, pacing back and forth, and he was kind of being intimidated to him, and he was afraid.
Yeah, he said and this is the bizarre part, you know, how we say the different species and stuff like that. He had gray light hair on the Bigfoot. The Bigfoot did.
Yeah.
So, and he was intimidating him off the shoreline. Like he couldn't get back onto the land.
Yes.
So,
yes. And then somebody came, you know, cause where that
friend.
Yeah.
Took too long to come home.
And so then this Bigfoot, he chased this Bigfoot away, or he was afraid or whatever. But then the next day he went with his casting materials and, you know, found all these prints. In fact, one of the casts is up at the big Winnie hanging on the wall in the cafe. So yeah, that was really close to there. And that actual story was on Finding Bigfoot because they were up there that year. That was the year they were up there, right, Kim?
In Rima, Minnesota. Yep.
Yeah. It's on the show. They spent a lot of time there. So so lots of crazy things happened right there.
Yeah. Our favorite, we got to meet them as a matter of fact that year too.
We did.
The guys from Finding Bigfoot. So yeah. Do you guys want us to take over the show?
No. I got a follow-up question for you, though.
Okay.
So you were there looking, and you potentially found something, you found something, okay? Something was happening that created this intense moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that it was intentionally trying to get you to leave the area, and so therefore it gave you that kind of freak out vibe, you know, where you're like, oh my God, get out of here and get in the vehicle? Or do you think that it was trying to make contact and that we just aren't on the same kind of vibrational wavelength? So it was sending something, and how we happen to receive that is not driving really well, you know?
Right.
I think it could have been a little bit of both, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've heard, you know, people who have been in this field for years and years. Matt Moneymaker told us one time that he felt like they gave out some kind of vibration that paralyzed you or made you fearful. And then I've also heard the other thing where they do that to try to, you know, maybe get in contact. So it could have been either or, a little bit of both, Kim. I don't really know. It's interesting to think about, but
I never thought of it that they're trying to scare you away. I just kind of thought they were just trying to it felt like it was playful. Everybody says it seemed
so
playful.
Too. Until it felt like they were all surrounding. There was more surrounding
definitely
us.
Definitely surrounding.
I was freaked out. I was totally
freaked. Because we're, it was happening. We were back to back and literally got super scared. We just got in the car, you know, and started putting our things away. But I mean, we were still looking out. I know all of us were looking out the windows because we were just like wondering what the hell was that, you know? Yes. That was just too crazy. Crazy. So
well, and then now you weren't with us the last time, Kim, because you were really sick. But when we were all up there after Christmas, I can't remember who was the end of December, beginning of January, but we were up there and we heard knocks. I mean, Heidi had her supersonic Euron, and it was pointing over by that swamp that we found last fall over there, and it was definite knocks, and it's the middle of winter, there's nobody out there in that woods, you know, so that was exciting, and we heard it a couple of times, so mm-hmm. It's really a hot spot right there.
It is. Well, my husband one time went out there, you know, just, and I kind of showed him the area because he wanted to go fishing, and I showed him the area, and he looked at me like we were nuts. He thought we were friggin' nuts. He said, well, how do you guys stay out here in the middle of the night? You can't see anything.
No.
He's like, so, and there is no houses, no nothing, you know? Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So
now, Kim, your husband is aware that as a paranormal investigator, he himself spends a lot of time sitting in the dark.
Right? I know. And he's always by himself. It's so funny. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And he just thinks, because of the whole thing that, you know, he's thinking bear, he's thinking human, you know, you just never know when it comes to being in the woods, you know, these ladies in the woods by themselves. So he thinks it's crazy. He thinks we're nuts. We don't have anything to, you know, in case of an emergency or anything like that. Just we send coordinates, but that's about it. You know, they know where we're at. But when he saw where we were at, where he physically saw, he thought it was crazy. He thought it was nuts because he says, you can't see. And I said, well, yeah.
It's you black.
It's black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different thing than the paranormal, I'll tell you right now. Because something living could be right behind those bushes and there's nothing you can do. It's a physical animal or whatever, you know. There's nothing you could do, you know. So
we just
try not to bring out that vibe.
You can run.
Yeah, see, that's why I say you can run.
I think Stephanie will run and I'll take one for the
rule
team.
Rule number five, never run.
Right?
Well, that's true.
In a bear attack, that's a whole different set of rules. There's only one rule in a bear attack. You just have to be faster than the person next to you.
Right.
Yeah. That's all you need. And trust me, if a bear's chasing you, you're all going to be setting track speed records.
Yeah.
Which is why, Steph, I think you should start bringing Jerry out with you.
That's what Jerry says all the time. He says, you girls need to get something. You have to have something. I'm like thinking, but that's the whole point. You know, we don't want to feel like we have that, you know, where there's a threat for the Bigfoot. You know, we want to be able to see him. That's the only way. Well, honestly, pictures and all that, no. When I physically see him, I'm not going to care about what anybody else sees. You know, I know what, and I don't have to lie about exaggerating stories. I'm just going to say, yes, I did see it by eye. I haven't yet, though, but,
no.
And that's all it's going to be, you know? So, yeah. We will. And together, maybe we'll be convincing together,
exactly.
You know, all of us girls, just saying, because you're never going to believe the story. You can say anything you want, you know, and people aren't going to believe you. So you got to take it for what it's worth. I enjoy it. I love it.
I do, too. I love, you know, even if you don't find anything, time is not wasted spent in the woods, I don't think, because it's just
such a
fabulous feeling and a fabulous mm-hmm. experience.
That's right.
So many people hunt. It isn't about shooting something. It's about being out in the woods.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They definitely.
Right.
It's true.
You're connecting with nature, and that's the best. And that's where your Bigfoot will probably come along, you know? You connect with nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But what's cool is that people know us there. When we were there, was it right after Thanksgiving, Kim? We were up there, and we all had on our bright orange gear because we were told that it was still archery season or something, and don't go out in the woods without it. And we got to the Big Winnie afterward, you know, and Sherry, who's the owner there, she says, she came and showed me her phone and she said, yeah, my husband saw you in the woods. And I said, what? We didn't see anybody in the woods. Well, I said, the only person we saw was a white pickup truck driving by looking at all these girls in the truck with, you know, Agent Orange on, you know, she said, oh, that was him. So, you know, I mean, the thing is, I feel safe up there too when we're there because we kind of also let Sherry know we're there. And so I think they kind of do watch out for us. You know what I mean? So I think it's good.
Beautiful. So what we're going to do now is take a quick commercial break right at the 6:30 mark. So go us. And then we'll be back. So you are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on PRX.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, PRX.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Vocational purposes.
Good.
Again, Dave. Again. You did it again.
Thank you.
You're nearly quiet. You're quiet for like the entire commercial break. And then with 3 seconds left, you start talking.
That's what I'm here for.
We're back. We're back.
We're back.
All right. I had my outburst. There, we're okay now.
All right.
Continue, ladies. I'm having a great time just sitting back and letting you guys just go at it.
Well, you know, I am a radio host, so it's pretty easy for me to do, guys. I'm just saying. Kim, I think Kim would love to have a Bigfoot radio show at some point, but
I know. I'm thinking about doing it. I'm serious because there's like nobody that talks. I don't think there is really.
Maybe we should talk about that on the team, but you would have to be the head of that because I can't be responsible.
Oh, I know.
For two.
I know.
I mean, I'll be on it. But
I'm thinking everything though because I love everything. You know,
yeah.
The crypt, the paranormal, UFOs. I'm
you
thinking
could,
everything.
You could be the crypto girls on the radio. That would be
there
fun.
You go.
Yeah,
that'd be a good show. Very good show. Yeah, and they talk about the crypt too.
To be on our show.
Are we gonna fight about that one too?
First.
So yeah, we're gonna have to do something like that for sure. Something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So that brings up a good question here. So since you were talking about the crypto aspect of this, tell me, what is Bigfoot to you? You don't need to explain it to everybody else because everybody's got their own opinion, but what is Bigfoot to you?
I think personally that he's from a different dimension. I don't think he's a part of our real world. I think he comes in and out of wherever. I don't know. I don't think not any of us know the answer to that, but I do believe that that's what he is. And some people, you know, like the Native Americans believe the same thing pretty much. Kim, shoot.
I think he's a physical and kind of do with the paranormal because to me, well, in a spiritual, to me, it's like if you pass on, you know, I think the Bigfoots were all over the place. And then when you pass on, your spirit lives, you know, to me. So it keeps going. And that's how I see it as that's how I see it. It's kind of like the same thing as when you pass away and your spirit lives, continues. And I think that's the way it is. So I think he's a physical yet spiritual too.
So do you think Wookiee? Yeah.
Well, you know, Chewbacca was modeled after the Wookiees, right? It was after the Gimlin Patterson film came out, and George Lucas said, you know, Chewie was going to look like a Bigfoot. Just saying.
Well, thankfully, he modeled him as the male form of that then, and not actually after the Patterson film, because
she's a girl.
Yeah, because that's a female.
But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I said that was for Mike's benefit. But so that's an interesting thought. So let's stay on that for a second. So Bigfoot is an interdimensional being and has the ability to travel in and out at will. Okay, so let's say that that is how it is. Okay, so what do you think then is the reasons that the appearances are there? Is it because, you know, something's happening in that particular location that needs awareness? Could it be like an environmental type of thing? Mm-hmm. Or is it a foreshadowing of something, like maybe what,
are you Mothmaning?
I'm kind of like thinking, you know, is it like a foreshadowing of something where, you know, like Mothman?
Well, I think, you know, the Native Americans, and we've spoken to a lot of them, because it seems like wherever we search for Bigfoot, it's on an Indian reservation as well as a forest, you know, both places. And they have taken us under their wings and, you know, really embraced us and told us their stories. And, you know, the Ojibwe stories say that, you know, Bigfoot is there and he is kind of a spirit, but he's there to protect them. He tells them to live near him and eat the things he eats, but leave him alone, right? So he's there as their protector. Now, one of our friends who's an elder up in Canada, Alan Yerksa, has been telling us about this place. It's about 7 hours north of Minneapolis, actually, and it's his son lives on a reserve up there, and they see Bigfoot constantly, and he went up there, and he told me that they're clear-cutting lots of acreage up there, and since they've been doing this, the sightings of Bigfoot have been off the wall. And his idea for that is that he's warning them, stop, you cannot keep doing this. You're ruining the planet. You're ruining the earth. You know, stop, like a warning, like you say, a forewarning.
Right.
Is it? It sure makes sense in that aspect.
Yeah. I truly believe that too, because there's, like, in down south, they're territorial and they tell people to keep their distance. So this is down south. I know somebody that Jesus Payon, is it how you say his last name? He says that they're more territorial down there and they show some aggression, but that, and they keep their distance, you know, they keep their distance and they don't go near them and they keep, you know, so it's more of a territorial, but like the ones up north, I think it's the same thing because you're taking away their environment. You're taking away where they live and how they eat and stuff like that. You're putting these new houses and new places, and that's not fair to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So who knows? You know, that to me, that's how I see it. I see that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it could be both. Could be a lot of different things. And maybe, you know, I for sure don't know. Maybe he is a physical being, you know? Like, everybody has their own opinions, and all the researchers are the same thing. You know, Carter, for example, who's helping us out a lot, he's been teaching us a lot, which, you know, we need to be taught. He's actually, I asked him to be our team advisor. So he's going to do that for us. But he believes he's a true physical creature. And a lot of people do. So I guess, and will we ever know? I don't know. Who knows?
I don't think
we'll ever know. Yeah.
Yep. Who knows?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I didn't have anything. Well, okay. I mean, obviously, I covered something on the fly, but I was actually responding to someone in the chat, which I was telling Kim she couldn't talk in the chat because she was going to be doing the same thing. So yeah, go me. What, you've never seen a hypocrite before? I do have a question. So my big thing starting when Dave proposed a 3-week Bigfoot thing, I was like, I can't talk about Bigfoot for 3 weeks in a row. I don't have that much information to do a 3-week stint. And I'm just, as much as I like the thought of Bigfoot, and I think it's very, very interesting, and I too would like to go out at some point in time and try to do an investigation with Bigfoot. I'm not going to call it hunting because I don't hunt.
Right.
But there's just not a lot of information, and all the, like, there's no, it's not like the paranormal where, like, every month or every couple of months there's new information coming in and somebody else has made a breakthrough. Somebody else has found new evidence or, like, more mind-blowing evidence. But for Bigfoot, it's always footsteps or just personal, you know, sightings, which are very subjective. Like, there's nothing new that ever comes out about them. So with the documentaries and stuff that are, you know, Dave and I had that argument last week about National Geographic doing that Grim Patterson video. What are your take on the Bigfoot documentaries and the Bigfoot shows and whatnot, and how accurate are they when compared to your own investigations? Did I blow your mind or what?
No, I'm just thinking about how to answer that, because to me, there's so many out there. There really is. I mean, they're everywhere. And they're back in time. Like, you could see them on the rocks where the Native Americans drew pictures. And, you know, the Bigfoot was always around, you know. So they've always, people from all over the world, how can you not say there's tons and tons of stuff? I mean, I have to do a lot of research. So I go through so many stories and so many things, and, you know, especially the popular ones, like, of course, Patterson and Gimlin one. And there's just so, how not can you be intrigued? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much. And, you know, my most recent stories, I mean, look at the BRFO map. They have huge stories. I mean, you look at it, you know, they always show stuff all the time, you know? So, and even, you know, the footprints are brand new stories. Those are new, that if someone sees footprints, that's a new area, you know, that they can get into. So how can you not? There's just so much, so much to look out, you know, for the Bigfoot. It's a phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And that's why I think I'm more intrigued when I hear about all these different things and all over the world, you know. That's why I'm so intrigued. I wish I was, like, on a Bigfoot show so I can go out there. And, you know, right. What I mean?
So they pay for our travel and bring us there.
There you go. Because, shoot, I'll do what I have to do, you know, because it's intriguing. It's so intriguing. So I'm just, that's me.
It is. And don't you wonder, though, if there's too much Bigfoot out there? I mean, I read a blog post the other day about, are we loving Bigfoot too much? Is there too much out there? Because people who are doubting his existence really doubt it now, because there's just so many shows. There's so many people who claim to see him, and then they show up in Bigfoot outfits and say it's him. And I mean, they try to fake things, yeah. You know, and that's not kosher either. You know, one of the things that we have in our Bigfoot research arsenal is a pair of Bigfoot prints, footprints that you could use to make a Bigfoot print, because prints. We're going to use that and see if it's the same thing, because, I mean, I think we would know the difference, but you don't know that because these are pretty good. So, you know, we don't know. I mean, so it's just one more piece of equipment that we have that we can tell if whatever we're looking at is real or fake. You know?
Right. Right. You know,
and the great footsteps that are cast are the ones that actually show the separation between the toes and how the pad comes down and how the arch has how it should have a little bit of an arch, and then how you can see the stress points, you know, of the front of the pad versus
and we have footprint, but they didn't come out good. And see, that's what we're wondering, is this really real? You know, because, you know, and although we were on an incline, it was very sandy. So of course the print didn't come out right, because, you know, the material went more on one side than the other. And it's how you mix your material and how you do this. So there's a lot for us to learn on that, you know. So we're wondering the same thing. They, you know, although it does show you the size of the foot, I'll tell you, that's pretty big. I'll tell you that much, you know. So
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, you know, when Sim was up north years ago, like it's got to be 6 years now, and Jerry and I and the Sim crew were up there, and we found footprints that were insane. You know, we were paranoid. We didn't know what we were doing, right? We were just up there screwing around. We just wanted to see if we could find Bigfoot. But you could feel. So when I put my hand on there, you could feel the arch. You could feel the toes. You could feel the foot. You could feel the heel. It was quite amazing, actually. You know, and I remember we told Lauren Coleman about this. And Lauren said, well, did you get a cast? No. Well, why not? Well, we didn't have the stuff. There are no hardware stores in International Falls. Well, the weather was bad. I mean, you know, it really was. And then I told him, you know, I touched it, you know, and I felt it, you know. And
he's
I
like, what?
And he said, then you totally compromised the evidence.
This is a family-friendly show, ladies.
Yeah. So, you know, we've learned a lot from Lauren, obviously. He's told us a lot, and, you know, he's the first one to say, well, could it be paranormal? You guys are paranormal investigators, too. You know, yeah, you're right. It falls into both categories, you know, mm-hmm. So. Anyway.
All right. So I have a story to share with you.
Yes.
All right. So about, what was it now? It's about 6-7 years ago. I was on a long weekend fishing trip, and it was at an outpost on the Vermilion River, mm-hmm. probably about, well, as the crow flies, probably about 8 miles west of Crane Lake. Complete, absolutely unpopulated, okay? There's mm-hmm. nobody there except for this one outpost. So as was the kind of the custom every night, they would have a bonfire and everybody would kind of just talk for a little bit about their, you know, how they did fishing that day or whatever on the river. And then and they would call it a night because the morning started early. We're usually up and out about 5. So that one night we happened to be sitting there, the guy who worked on the property and myself were just sitting there talking, and it was summertime. So you could hear there was wildlife around us and you could hear things in the woods and everything else. And we, for some reason, the two of us had kind of gotten quiet. And then we noticed, or I noticed first, everything around us had gotten dead quiet. And I mean dead quiet. Like it went from... Yeah, the fire's crackling and there's things happening around us and stuff, and there's fish jumping in the river and splashing and, you know, probably otters running on the riverbanks and stuff like that you could hear like dead silent, okay? Mm-hmm. And right after I kind of recognized that everything was kind of strange, like that had gotten like that, from probably about 100 yards or so behind me to the right in the woods, there was a very sharp and very distinct loud whistle. Very, very, what I would call a perfect whistle. Okay. Not like an attempt at, it was like a very loud, piercing whistle. And probably 5 to 8 seconds later, from across the river, probably 300-400 yards across the river and down up into the woods, there was an answer. There was another whistle, sounded almost identical, back up in the woods, way, 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 way to our northwest.
I've heard of that. I heard of the whistles.
I'm wondering, have you guys ever heard a whistle like that when you've been out in the woods? And what do you think that is?
We have not heard that, but we mm-hmm. have heard
that
stories.
They whistle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that they do
that
whistle.
That they mimic. Mm-hmm. Yes. But you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I looked at the guy sitting next to me, and he looked at me, and he said, I think they're here again. Mm-hmm. And that's all he said.
Wow.
And I didn't say anything because, you know, being involved in the paranormal and crypto and everything else, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, be like jumping up and down like, oh, my God, it's Bigfoot's coming, you know. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
so no wonder you're intrigued more, Dave.
It was
and
really
Mike
cool.
isn't.
Period. You know, I mean, it was really... It yeah. was, I don't know what it was. I mean, it could have been any type. It could have been an animal, I guess, but it was just, it was such a distinctly and so loud. It was so penetrating.
Piercing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. how loud mm-hmm. it was. And mm-hmm. then have the same one so far away from us in a totally opposite direction yeah. across the river. And you could just tell by being there that it was like a question and answer.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like it almost seemed like it was an echo type of thing. Like, where are you? I'm over here.
Yeah.
Well, re-knock, it was a whistle.
Well, and right. When you think about it, it's kind of like owls, right? A pair of owls, one will hoot, hoo-hoo, and then the other right. one will come from way over here to answer. Same thing,
right.
only this
right.
is a whistle. And we have heard that with Bigfoot. We have experienced it, but hopefully someday we will. But, yeah, they talk about that. And Reamer, actually, Kim, Steve, the owner of the Reamer Hotel, was telling us about that.
About the whistling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But the whistle's different. It's very different.
Yeah.
So it's not like a whistle.
No.
You know?
No. It was almost like if you would hear a small steam engine whistle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's how loud and piercing it was. But there's no steam engines running up there on
no.
the
No.
There was nothing going on. This was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and like I said, everybody was already sound asleep and there was only five of us up there to begin with. So it wasn't like one of us was running and playing a joke and then the other one went across the river 400 yards into the dark wilderness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's cool. So there probably was, their chances are there was some around here. Mm-hmm. That's exciting, actually.
It was kind of exciting. I thought I'd share that just kind of see what you guys thought of that.
That is awesome. I love it.
Yep.
So
the jealousy is... like just all over your face, Steph.
Really? Yeah. See, I would have had it. I would have been. Oh, it's Bigfoot! Come on, let's go. Come on,
let's go get our stuff.
Come on, get our stuff. Come on, we're gonna go out there. Let's follow
let's go
it.
Check it out.
Yeah,
well, we're terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so as much as I regret admitting this, I have seen one or two episodes of Finding Bigfoot.
What? Oh my gosh. Okay.
And when I say one or two, I mean literally one or two. But
it was the FLIR episode when Bobo had command of the FLIR mobile that they introduced.
No, it wasn't. I think I would have really enjoyed that one because I do love the FLIR. But that howl or whatever. I'm not even going to try to do it.
We do that too.
Have you ever, I mean, I know you guys have done it. Have you ever heard it?
No.
Do you think that it's a real thing? Do you think that it actually works in some fashion?
I mean, a lot of Bigfoot researchers swear by it. We haven't heard it, you know, and everybody has their own brand of how to do it for sure, you know. But, maybe someday we'll hear it. If it's true,
I think maybe this weekend.
The whistle thing is probably a more predominant thing than the, you know, sound. But
well, if that's your take on it, no wonder it's not working.
No, we have. It's very loud. Kim actually was in the Bigfoot calling contest last year up at Bigfoot Days up in Reamer.
We're in the place.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember, Kim. There were a lot of really good ones up there, though. But you were like the first one out. See, I think you should have waited for a couple.
I know. I should have.
You didn't even place?
I know. Did you? There was only I didn't place. I was winner. Close though, I'll tell you that much. There was three of us at the end. So just saying.
So did you grab your recorder and like record the ones who were like really, really good so that you could like take those recordings and then play them out in the woods?
No, I actually my husband did record me though once. And he says everybody was like amazed. They were floored that it was really me. So yeah, he did record me once, but I never record. No, I have never done that. And Steph, for being so small, boy, that girl can bellow. Let me tell you, I'm just saying, she can bellow it out like a. I mean, she's so tiny, and it's like, where did that come from? We all looked at her like, what the heck? It's just great. Got to be doing that this weekend for sure.
We got to teach some of the newbies how to do it too.
I know, right?
Kim, you don't by chance have that recording available, do you? That you could just
no,
like
fire we don't. Recording you up? We don't.
It somehow it's got somehow misplaced.
Yeah, it did.
Darn it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so we have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, oh, what? That was quick.
Talking with us, it just flies by when you're having fun.
Let's talk about the documentary.
Documentary. So, Kim, let's talk about the documentary that's coming out this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
So there's a production company called Bilko Productions, and they have a new documentary called Cultured Bigfoot. It's not about Bigfoot. It's about those of us looking for Bigfoot. Their tagline is, it's not about the Squatch, but the much easier to find Squatchers. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed us for that last September down in Kentucky. And that's coming out actually on Wednesday of this week. So we're really excited because we're the only women amongst like 20 men on this show. And Bill and Amy Lancaster, who are the producers, have invited us and asked us to come down to Virginia next month to be there at the actual film premiere. And it's at a big theater. And we're going to be up there doing a QA session as well. So, Kim, it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited.
It's going to be exciting. Totally exciting. We're going to be out there with Bobo, I hope, and maybe some other people. Who knows? Maybe the big wigs will come. So let's just say, because we're on there. I mean, they're on there too. So let's hope that they get to come too or something. Maybe they'll just come out for that premiere. Yes.
Let me just point out that as pioneering women in this Bigfoot field, you guys are the big wigs.
Maybe you're right. Maybe, but, you know, I don't see no expert or big wig because you learn all the time when you're out there. Yeah, you know, I don't think we have that expertise or anything like that. You learn all the time. Everything's a learning experience, no matter what. Where you're at, where you go. And, you know, I just say the big wigs because those guys have been on TV and everything. But, you know, who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
But, you know, we always are willing, you know, want to learn. You know, fortunately, mm-hmm. we have a lot of contacts and a lot of friends now in this field who have been doing it for a long, long time. And they are so willing to help us out. And they're schooling us on like stick structures, for example. Carter was sending me all these pictures of things that they found and what to look for. And oh my gosh, send me your pictures and I'll tell you what you should be looking for and blah, blah, blah. So yeah,
it is very man dominated. I'll tell you that for sure. Especially in Kentucky and all that area. So just saying,
but we have a lot of the experts in our corner with us. So
that's right.
I feel like we've got a solid base there to go on. So it's continue. Very good.
Mm-hmm. High five, girly.
So our remaining like minute and a half, why don't you tell everybody like where they can like find you guys, you know, your websites, and I know like Cat Paranormal and whatnot, where they can get a hold of you and find you.
So Squatchers is on Facebook, and you can find us on Squatchers, and it's Squatchers, double H. Our website is squatchers.com, same thing. Kim, where else can you be found?
I can be found on Cat Paranormal. We got a Facebook and a website, catparanormal.com.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on the Gathering Radio Show, so, you know, you can always catch me there, right here on the Para X Network. And we will be in Bina this weekend on Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Big Winnie Bar and Cafe. So come and see us there and tell us your stories, and we'll certainly tell you all of our stories, and it'll be really fun. I can't wait. It'll be fun. Yeah.
It's exciting. Very exciting.
Wonderful. Dave, any final thoughts or?
No. Great episode. I loved sharing the stories and getting to hear some of the personal experiences that you guys have had in the woods. And I wish you the best of luck. And I'm really looking forward to you catching this phenomenal piece of evidence that you're like, you guys were coming back on the show because, man, we got something. We've got a follow-up show.
I'm excited
for that. So
I'm
That's
doing right. this so I can look them in the eye, and I will do that at some point.
Definitely.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Kim and Steph. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Being our guest tonight. So, for Dave and I, That pretty much does it for this episode of The Odyssey Files. Join us next week where we will continue or finish up our 3-week stint on Bigfoot. And we'll see y'all next week. Have yourselves a good night.